The following is a presentation of Podjockey.
Well, normally I don't have co-authors on at the same time because they both speak and it gets confusing to see who's talking. But we've got two authors with us now. We've got Dean Koontz and his dog Anna. And they have collaborated on a book called Ask Anna. And it's really, I don't want to say an advice for the lovelorn, because it's good societal advice, and it's just great. It's great reading. And if you're a dog owner, I really have to say you must have this book. And the good thing, too, is that all the proceeds from the sale for the author are going to Canine Companions for Independence, which is a nonprofit organization that trains service dogs for people with disabilities. So it's a great cause as well. Dean, you've written books with dogs before, of course, with Trixie. What inspired you to do the Anna book this time?
Well, you know, Trixie did three or four books, and a couple of them appeared on the New York Times bestseller list. And her first hardcover outsold my first hardcover 14-1. So for a period of time, I was seething with envy, but I got over that. And I thought Anna was never going to write a book because she was too busy, as she said, doing a new translation of Proust. So she didn't want to be have her belly rubbing and ball playing time taken away by writing a book. But then one day she decided she could give advice to other dogs in need. In reality, the idea was brought to me by the editor at Center Street, who had published the Trixie books. And as soon as I thought of it, you know, a dog with the Dear Abby gene giving advice to other dogs with lots of beautiful pictures of all the dogs asking and Anna giving the advice, it was irresistible. I just had to do it.
Yeah, and the pictures are wonderful. Who did the pictures?
A fellow named Vincent Rimini, and he was here for 4 days photographing Anna. And then he went all over photographing other dogs, and he found some pretty amazing dog photos that he was able to put together with this. And then of course, we had to get Anna's advice and the questions from the dogs, but that was all easy to do. The dogs were all in need, and she says she's not bossy. She's not trying to tell other dogs how to live or be, but she doesn't mince words when she thinks they're going off the rails.
And some of these questions are kind of breed specific. I know you're into Goldens as I am, but did you find other dogs that had other problems based on their physique and their tongue size and ears and everything else?
Yeah, it's, like human beings, we all have things we don't like about ourselves, and dogs also have things they don't like about themselves. And there's one, I'll read it, this one to you. It's a long-haired dachshund who writes, "Dear Anna, I hope you can help me. One neighbor has a Great Dane, another has an Irish wolfhound. I feel short. Is there anywhere I can go for leg extensions? Is there some exercise I can do, a special vitamin, some kind of yoga for the height challenge, Shrimp?" And she says, "Dear Shrimp, if you measure height from tail tip to nose, you're way taller than you think. If you feel short, you will be short. If you feel tall, you'll still be short, but you'll feel better. One good thing about being a dog is we don't have to care how we look because we're all humongously cute. Snakes should have it so good. You don't want yoga, you want yogurt, the creamy, sweet, frozen kind. And maybe you could go to court to have your name changed, make them call you Big Boy or Stilts." And sometimes that's all we need, is to rethink ourselves, and we can feel better about ourselves.
Well, you know, it's mostly done with a sense of humor. But the great thing about it is, with these dog questions and answers, there lie a lot of human answers as well. In other words, you know, you're talking about people who are short. Well, there's a perfect description of how somebody who is vertically challenged, as they say now, can get self-esteem from being longer. So it's actually good advice for humans as well as dogs, no?
That was sort of our intention, to make it things that dog would ask and have a lot of fun with it. But at the same time, there's little nuggets of wisdom and truth about life and how to face it. And that made it kind of a little extra challenge, and a challenge always makes a project more fun.
Now, in these answers, you have to basically translate what Anna is thinking. Did it all come to you at once? Did you sit down and write things based on your recollections, or did you observe Anna during the day and go, "Ah, okay, there's some behavior I can use in the book"? How did that work?
Well, it's first I had to have the pictures. I had to see the other dogs, and Vincent did all these photos, and there's some pretty funny ones. And then you look at it and think, what is that dog's problem? And it becomes fairly apparent after a while what that dog's problem would be. And then what would Anna say if this dog came to her? And so I took it photo by photo, shuffling the photos around, looking at them. It was play. It was great fun. And now I have all these marvelous pictures of Anna, which I will always have. And I think I might have been a dog in a past life because I seem to relate so well to what dogs think.
Well, that's true. I kind of feel the same way. I've mentioned that I've got a novel out, and there's a dog character in it. And so much of this stuff is universally related with dog owners, you know, that behavior that you think is unique to your dog. And then you talk to another dog owner, and they go, oh, yeah, my dog does that. Or sometimes things that you think are breed-specific, and they go, no, my dog doesn't do that. So there's a lot of commonality and a lot of personality quirks in each and every dog.
There's Anna and Trixie are both, Trixie was a golden retriever, Anna's a golden retriever. And in fact, we didn't know this until after we got Anna and had her a couple months, but even Canine Companions, who gave us both dogs, Trixie because she had had an elbow surgery and then had to be taken out of service, and Anna because she flunked out after 22 months of 24 months training. They couldn't break her being distracted by dogs or by birds. And if you're distracted with somebody who has a disability, you're not very good as an assistance dog. And so though they have so many similarities of breed and species, each one is its total own personality, just like human beings. And Anna's a little more needy than Trixie was. She's a little more affectionate because Trixie was a little more independent, and she's not courageous. She will growl. She never barks, but she will make this growl noise if she sees something that seems wrong to her. And then once she growls at it, she will hurry around behind you and look around your leg at it. So, okay, Dad, I pointed it out. Now you deal with it. And they're all adorable and delightful in their own way.
Well, I have an English-style golden that was 18 months old named Duncan. And I've never seen a dog that will do this, but before Duncan eats, or if you're giving him a pill or a treat, he's got this piggy noise. He goes like that before he eats. And I've never seen or heard of a dog that does that. But this guy does it all the time. And, we asked the vet, is that normal? He goes, well, it's not normal, but there's nothing wrong with him. So they all have these quirks. The interesting thing, too, is you have in the advice, there's a lot of areas where the dogs are actually smarter than we are, where we think we're allowing the dog, for example, to sleep on the bed, and the dog is going, no, this is a place where I belong, and you're just going along with it.
Yeah, you have to give them they're very subtle dogs, and they know that they're actually taking us for a walk, and they don't want us to tumble to that. They want us to feel superior and happy, so we go for a walk. And sometimes, there's owners just don't treat their dogs well, and Anna finds way for the dog to get even about that. There's one here, the dog has a very long tongue, and he writes to Anna and says, my human parents think my big tongue is funny. They make jokes about my big, funny tongue. I don't think it's funny. I think their furless faces are funny, and the way they walk around on two legs is hysterical, but I don't think my tongue is funny. Do you think my tongue is funny? And the picture of Anna, her tongue is as long as his, and she says, this is object of mockery, he calls himself. And her answer is, dear object, your tongue is not funny. The ideal tongue length is approximately the length of your ears, as are yours and mine. The average human tongue is half again as long as the human ear. Therefore, as far as tongues are concerned, every human being is as deformed as the hunchback of Notre Dame. But we don't mock them. Another thing they don't understand about tongues, life is short, and there's so much that needs to be licked. So, yes, their wisdom is greater than ours.
It's funny you would pick that one because I was describing the book to a friend of mine, and that's the one I picked to read to him to show him what the book is all about. Dean, it's a wonderful book. It's great for Christmas, and anybody who's a dog owner should read this book. They'll get a laugh out of it and maybe a few tears out of it at times as well. And I think it's a great Christmas present for people who don't have dogs, who want to give it to people who do have dogs. And it's a book that I see no reason you couldn't give this to a child who would appreciate it, no?
It's written for all ages, and it's very accessible to kids, but it's also for adults. And, it's kind of speaks to all ages. That was the hope for it. So we'll see if that turns out to be true. But and I don't know whether this will be Anna's only book. She does want to return to doing the new translation of Proust she hopes to put out. But other than that, she wants to learn to fly a hot air balloon and a few other things. So I don't know how much time she'll have to do with future books. But
are you acting as Anna's agent in this case? Are you fielding offers for films and such?
You know, I don't have an agent. I sort of fired my last agent 11 years ago and do my own negotiations. So if somebody comes along and wants to make a Ask Anna movie, you know, how I don't want my my beautiful golden retriever is so innocent to hook up with the wrong kind of Hollywood types. I will be very discerning about who she's allowed to work with in Hollywood.
Well, I know this book's going to be a tremendous success and a sequel, no doubt. Working on anything else new in your other life as an author?
Well, I finished the final book in the Odd Thomas series, and now I'm writing a book that is probably going to turn out to be 500 to 600 pages long because it's got so many twists and turns in it. So I'm staying busy keeping out of trouble with the police and doing the only thing I know how to do.
Well, Dean, thank you so much. The book is Ask Anna, Advice for the Furry and Forlorn. Dean Koontz and his dog, Anna, thank you.
Thank you for having me there again.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Podjockey. Copyright 2014. All rights reserved.